a manuscript on bipolar relapse prevention and proposing a book on policies for the poor. She has worked as a social worker in the UK, Canada, and the USA, and has also worked in Uganda, Belize, and Jamaica.
I'm gonna survive the voice problem. So Mama Moana Safe Motherhood was founded by myself and my daughter's paternal grandmother, who is a nurse midwife. She's a retired nurse midwife in Uganda. And it was a very interesting story. I went to Uganda for 5 weeks, and the night before I'm leaving, sitting on the porch, and she said, "You know, we need some help with the clinic." And I said, "Oh, leaving tomorrow." And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, do you have the annual report? You should send it to me." She said, "I have it in the bedroom." And she brought out 2 pages of just data of how many people they had served, what their issues were. And I took it back and I said, what am I going to do with this? And what is it that you want? And she was like, "Well, we just want help to make people come to the clinic." And so she lives in Njeru, which is, it sits right on the Nile. If you sit on her step, you can just look out at the Nile. It's quite nice there. It's near the dam. And in the process of when we started talking, I realized that as a public health professional and a social worker, I didn't have the technical medical skills. And so my first partnership was with the nursing school. I was at Seattle University at the time. And I just emailed the dean and said, "I'm looking for nurses who want to volunteer on a project that has no money. We don't know what we're going to do. Not sure if we're going to make it to Uganda, but if anybody's interested." She sent out the email, and I was lucky enough to have someone who was head of the American College of Nurse Midwives at the time, Catherine Kamachakar, and another colleague from nursing. And so it was that was the start of our collaboration, and we ended up with a lot of other partners, as I will go along and show you. So the term Mama Moana literally means mother baby in Luganda, and Luganda is the most widely spoken language in Uganda. And this was a name given to the project by the community. And the goal evolved from community meetings that actually ended the objectives, was the first start of bringing people together in partnership, because all these people were community volunteers from different geographic regions. And it was really funny. Again, I did it without a plan, deliberately, because I'm a community organizer. I teach community organizing, and I did not want to go to Uganda with a plan. Now, try and get money without a plan. So my plan was, we will show up, and we will have meetings, and whatever the people want, we will give it to them. And my colleagues in nursing said, suppose they want, I said, if there's something they want that 3 PhDs cannot give to them, we are totally useless. So the plan was to go there and have a meeting. And so I didn't do, you know, all the lit reviews that tell you what the indicators are and all that. I said, that's irrelevant, because that would mean that we're deciding what's important for that particular community. Again, if you're a community organizer, you're comfortable with that. If you're not, it's a challenge. So eventually what came out of our first meeting were these objectives about what the community wanted. And so our strategies, because I was a community organizer person, was resource mobilization. So I grew up in Jamaica. I grew up in a town that is a place where Peace Corps people like to hang out and people from other countries that like to do development work. And I grew up 45 years ago. They used to come to my uncle's table. They used to stay in our house. And they used to talk about projects that they were working on, that they came with their great ideas. And what shaped my life was actually one day, I don't remember how old I was, and this guy had come from Israel, and he's around the table, and he said he was they're there to build a yogurt factory. And my question was, what's yogurt? And that should tell you sort of where my politics come from, around global work. And so my thing was to get the community has the resources that they needed. And my job was to link them together in partnership, and in partnership as well with our school. And what I later did was expand it to more sectors of the community in Seattle. So this is our team. That's my ex-mother-in-law, that's me. That's Lydia McAllister, and on the end in the purple is Catherine Kamachakar, and we're sitting on her front porch eating, looking out at the Nile and enjoying ourselves. It's a tricky font, I later found out. So anyway, we started in 2000, we had the conversation in 2004. I got a Jesuit grant to do some work 2005, and so the three of us went to Uganda, and when the community said they wanted training in the traditional birth attendants wanted training in certain kinds of delivery and how to stop hemorrhage, and the community health workers wanted to know how to tie off cords and how to do hygiene. I mean, we did everything. Like, we went to the market, we wanted to have locally sourced materials, got fabric, made a baby doll, sewed it by hand, put the umbilical cord on it. We did everything there. We didn't bring anything with us except double-sided razor blades. And the interesting thing about this is that, I mean, single-sided. Most of the razor blades there are double-sided. In order to prevent HIV transmission, you want single-sided. The challenge is they just don't have single-sided, so we decided to do something that philosophically we do not usually want to do, which is to bring something that's not available there. And so some of the linkages that happened, I was linked to the, I was a member of the White Ribbon Alliance. I had a campaign among the community health workers and among the community-based organizations, even those that did not deal with health. So I invited anybody that saw anybody's stores, beer factory, the biggest beer factory in East Africa is in that community. I had them all come, and I had all the membership, I'd photocopied them, and got them to join the White Ribbon Alliance so that they would get information directly about maternal and child health, which later ended up, which is the cool thing that ended up from this effort, was that members of that community ended up in leadership positions when the national government decided to be members of the White Ribbon Alliance, and included the wife of the president, who I was supposed to meet, but I guess she wanted me to change my ticket, and I wouldn't. Because I always believe that I don't like picture-taking moments, because, again, I'm an organizer, and it's not about me. It's about the community. And so one of the things that I did, my daughter's school was really interested in what I was doing. I don't know how some mom found out. And they raised money to buy some bicycles for the health project, because a lot of the problem was transportation. So people could do community outreach. They would do vaccinations, but they'd have to walk 10 miles to do it. And say they got bicycles. Then later, the third graders usually have a fundraising drive. They raise money to pour concrete in part of the school. The teachers always give away books at the end of every year. My boss at the university at one point said I was running the Red Cross out of my office, but I had 17 boxes of books. I knew no way to get them to Uganda. Ended up at an African music concert sitting beside a guy who worked at Microsoft, who shipped computers to Uganda, who said, next time I have space, I'll call you. He later called me one afternoon at 3 and said the shipment's going at 5. I have a Volvo station wagon, so 17 boxes of books went in my car and got to Uganda. So those are the kinds of, literally, like when he said Uganda, I was like, give me your business card. And so the idea of bringing these institutions together across countries, as well as within the country, because people often forget, I know, there are universities there too. Wherever you are, wherever you're doing global health, there are universities in that country. And I think one of the things that we fail to do is to link with the universities in that country that have capacity, that know those communities, and have them do the work that you normally would want to do. And so what I did was linked with the university in Kampala, as well as Jinja School of Nursing. When I linked them to the nursing school, this is us after doing a training, when I linked them to the nursing school had never heard about the clinic, even though the clinic was a public health clinic, decided to then put nurse interns into the clinic, which was a government clinic, and it was a government-run nursing school. And so they now had 5 additional staff every year. This is the bicycles that were there. This was the school, what it looked like before. This is an area of the world where it rains a lot, So as you can imagine, when it rains, there is no school because it's a mud floor. And so pouring concrete floor made a huge difference. This is one group of women that they already had their, they had a women's organization, and we brought them together to get the message out about safe motherhood. This school of nursing, it's not really funny, but in terms of brain drain, they say you graduate them on a Friday and they get on a plane on a Saturday, and you know they end up in the United States or the UK or Canada. But that was the school that we went and had a conversation with them and then brought in the clinic staff, and then they had that arrangement to bring in interns. This was a drama group that did public health messages through drama and drumming, and they did this around villages that were really small, like a couple thousand people, and they would just start with drumming, and they would drum for hours until people would start coming, and then they would put on their plays. And we incorporated, got them to incorporate their our message of safe motherhood into their performances as well. Our outcomes were that we almost tripled the births by skilled attendants and the maternity services use at the clinic through all these efforts. And as I said, it was a wide effort, especially with community-based organizations. We just said, if you see a pregnant woman, you tell her she should go to the clinic and get prenatal care. And this was men, women. They also did their own health information posters, because these are very hard to get in indigenous languages, even from the UN. So I brought the markers and we bought the paper there, and people made posters and we had them all over the community. And it was really interesting, some of the messages that came out. One of the things that was, people always talk about credibility for community health workers and about, again, community-driven stuff and what partnership is like. We were asking them at the end of when we were leaving, what do you think you want next? And several of them said badges. And we went, badges? And they said, yes, so that when we go out, we look official. And so we talked to the city council if we could use their logo, if they would give it to us, which was a kind of a struggle, but because we had paved the way with a lot of meetings, they gave it to us. And we also put our university logo on it, and they had their names done. I laminated them at my school. They did it for free. And so years later, when I've gone back there, there are people who are still wearing those badges. And these are just some of the community-based people that we worked with. So in terms of community building, start with the people and not in the library. I know researchers, we are taught to start in the library. Do not start in the library. People know what they want. And I'm about to write this book eventually called What the Poor Wants, because nobody cares what they want. It's just what we're going to give them. And the idea is that people know what they want, and often they have it in their community. It's a matter of linking people. I even linked, there was a guy who ran a computer school, and the people at the clinic were hand doing their graphs and charts every month for public health. I mean, literally drawing them, and they had these big books. And I asked him, I said, dude, I'll get you some software from Microsoft if you just teach them Excel and Word. And he trained these people in Excel and Word, got them to a certain level, got them certification, did it for free, because I linked them together so that that capacity building could happen. He later then worked with them about getting people training. So finding out where the capacity is in the community. So even in my community in Seattle, one of the moms raised $5,000 for me in one night. Yeah, she's rich, and it's in a rich neighborhood. And women were writing $500 checks because they watched some slides and the same kind of pictures that I just showed you. And she had chocolate and strawberries and wine. And she decided to throw a party. It lasted an hour and a half, and I walked away with $5,000. And so that is also partnership, because, and what I did was I reported to all of them. I sent them a report of what their money was spent on. And some of them later gave me more money. And how do you connect and engage stakeholders? One of the things that I kept doing was sticking to this message about, do you want mothers dying needlessly in your community, and that mothers were suffering. And everybody knew, there was even a midwife story. She had died having twins, one of their midwives in the community. And so to repeat that story so that even the people who, we were trying to get the beer company to sponsor the community health workers, And so we went to the beer company and brought them into the meetings and brought the director of health for the district, who later adopted the project. So I, again, coming from a place where I thought it's nice to have people come and visit and try to help us, but we can do it ourselves, I wanted to transfer the project over to somebody there. And after getting, I also got ministry people involved in the White Ribbon Alliance. I got him, I said, come on, fill it out. I'll fill it out for you, sign the bottom. And they later took on the project. And so I had a formal ceremony transferring the project. Very fascinating. What I learned about dependence on foreigners is that when I said to the mayor that I was handing it over, she yelled and screamed at me so loud about the fact that how could I come into her community and abandon it. And I said, I'm not abandoning your community. I come here for a week and a half. And that her community was doing the work itself without me, but that there was this certain authority that comes from being a foreigner. And I think we all need to work at getting rid of that instead of owning it, but to get rid of that authority and give the authority to the community. And in fact, that was one of the, I ended up on the board actually of one of the AIDS organizations in that community, because they also got involved and they now have a maternal and child health wing that they have built. So we had a health fair that was also bringing people together. It was really interesting. I even had a woman who sold greens, and she said she wanted to be there. She didn't speak English. I didn't understand. I got this woman to translate, and she said her argument was, well, greens would save women from anemia. So she brought her greens, and she was at the health fair. And we had very cross the board. So we had Red Cross, but we also had local community organizations, volunteer training, improved quality of maternity services. And so these were some of the outcomes that developed from what I always say, it's like this, like you were talking, it was great to come after you, that if you find that there's always ways to bring organizations together, that there's always a point of connection, that even if the organization is the Rotary Club or the Chamber of Commerce, you say, well, do you have anybody in your family that suffered from, you know, trauma from birth? And they say, yes. You're like, okay, you're in. Come on, commit to this. Sign this form. And so I have all these businessmen getting maternal and child health information from the White Ribbon Alliance. And now Uganda is one of the few countries with a national secretariat. I'm really proud that my community organizers, I had a couple of community organizers on the ground. I forgot one thing. We had 11 squares from that community on the mother's quilt that had traveled the world. And that happened within a week and a half based on a woman who was an amazing community organizer who got women from different sectors of the community to make quilt squares for Women Deliver that they had in London many years ago. So, and again, that was one of those where they sent me the grant application from Washington. I said, I don't live there. I don't run anything. I said, you need to send it to them and you need to give them an extension since it's going to take a while to get to Africa. They did. They gave them an extension. They applied. Two groups in the community got grants to do this. And for them, they were, in fact, that's what one woman said. She goes, I never thought I could apply for money internationally, even though it was several hundred dollars, because it was just to get quilt material. So that was the story of Mawamwana's way of using community organizing with public health to get maternal and child health outcomes improved. Thanks.